Winchester AA target loads have long been the standard of performance in shotgun sports. Available in over 50 different load specs, the AA line is known for its 6% antimony shot, reloadable hull, clean burning propellant, and of course, the famous AA wad. Winchester AA, it's the choice of champions.
You are now tuned into Shotgun Sports USA, powered by Winchester. Recorded in the U.S.
and streaming all over the world.
We talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, championship-winning coaches, gun clubs, world-class target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. If you are into clay target sports, you are at the right place for insider information from some of the best in the world every single week. Remember to subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
My guest on the show today is from Bellevue, Washington. He's a businessman, a family man, and one of the best shooters in the game. Competition is what he lives for, and his resume is there to prove it. Please welcome the six-time Team USA member, 36-time All-American, and two-time U.S. Open champion, Mike Wilgus. All right, Mike, I've been wanting to get you on this show for a long time. I'm glad you're finally on. I don't think you have the idea of the messages that I get. You know, when are you coming? When's Mike coming on? I've always answered just one day. Well, here you are. What's going on?
Thank you. Good to be here. Yeah, it's I haven't been ducking yet. It seems to never work out. But here we are, and let's see what we can tell everyone about me.
Now why you been ducking me? Are you shy? You're not shy.
I guess I'm shy. I don't think I'm shy, but it's just, just a busy guy, I guess.
Yeah, I got you. Well, you know, I've known you for a while now, still to this day. And I know this probably goes for a lot of people. I have no idea what you do for a living.
Well, what I do for my day job is I'm an environmental consultant. I've got my own company, and I've been doing it since 1990. And what that entails is I'm the guy that aerospace company calls and says, hey, we've got this product. We got to get rid of it. We need you to figure out how. I go in there, see what they've got, test it, profile it, find a way to dispose of it, and I get it to the transportation and to the end destination. So kind of a waste guy. I also do real estate. We've got 6 or 7 properties here in Seattle that Julie and I manage, and both commercial and residential, and that's what I do outside of shooting.
Huh. So your environmental deal, so it's like a waste product that they have to dispose of properly, and you do that.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, okay. And in aerospace, for example, aerospace materials expire in 1 year. So whether they use them or not, they have to get rid of them. So I'm the guy that figures all that out and gets rid of it. Now, on a different level, I do, you know, since I'm in Seattle, I do all the fishing boats. I mean, I don't know if you've seen Deadliest Catch, but I work with a lot of those guys and get rid of their waste. Oil spill material from Alaska. I got my hands in a lot of different stuff.
Yeah. Well, I know you were born in Texas, and then you now live in Washington State. How did you end up in Washington?
So I was born in Galveston, Texas, and my dad was a military guy in the Air Force. Uh-huh. So obviously at that time he was in Galveston or the San Antonio area. And he got stationed shortly after I was born in Spokane, Washington, which is Fairchild Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. And, we ended up in Tri-Cities, Washington. I was Pasco. His parents lived in Richland. This is like a Tri-Cities area, maybe I don't know, three, four miles apart. So I ended up in Pasco, basically until I went to college at Washington State University. Well, now I've since moved. So Pasco, you have Washington State is Western Washington, which is Seattle, Bellevue, Kirkland. Okay. Eastern Washington is more of a desert, right? It's dry, no rain, hard winters, hot summers. But after I graduated from college, I came over here to this side to work. And I've been here ever since.
I got you.
Since 1990 when I moved to the west side.
Yeah. For some reason, I always feel as if Washington State is like the forgotten about state. And the reason I say that is I only know two things about it, and that's the Seattle Seahawks and that it rains there all the time. I didn't know that one side of it didn't rain. And also, you're the furthest away from any and every shoot in the country.
Now, that is a fact. I probably travel. I probably have more freaking airline miles than any guy on the All-American team. But no, it's Eastern Washington is dry. It's beautiful. Western Washington's green. It's what people don't know about it. It really doesn't rain like they say.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. We have lakes everywhere. We have the Puget Sound to go fishing everywhere. It really is beautiful. Like, my wife and I are probably going to move elsewhere once Kayla graduates, but we'll always keep a place here because I don't think in America there's a better place in the summer than the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. What's your summers like there?
Oh, beautiful. 75 to 85 every day. No rain, full sun. Lots of water sports. It would be very hard to beat.
Speaking of water sports, you like to get on the water, don't you?
I love to get on the water.
Do you ski?
Believe it or not, I used to competition slalom ski. So I did tournaments at that. Most were on like private slalom lakes. I did that for years, like even at the start of my shooting career. Then I sold the boat. Kayla was born. And here we are 2-3 years ago. I'm like, man, these surf boats are pretty cool. So I bought one of these surf boats. And I'm telling you that is the most fun. We have so much fun as a family and friends on that boat surfing. You wouldn't believe it.
Huh. Sounds interesting. Surfing. How much different is that than skiing?
Way different.
You're talking about surfing on a lake behind the wake surfing. Is that what it's called?
Exactly. Okay. It's low impact. You're going 10 miles per hour. It's way different than skiing. I mean, I literally had a lot of injuries at slalom skiing, but wake surfing, nah, it's totally low key. Anyone can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're also a basketball fan, right?
Huge, huge basketball fan.
I'd have never thought that.
What do you mean you never thought that?
I don't know. I just wouldn't have thought you'd have been a basketball fan. And I didn't think you'd have been a slalom skier either. So.
Okay. So yeah, I grew up in Pasco. I think by 10th grade, I was able to dunk. I was 10th, 11th grade, I was 6'5". I had a love for the game. Like that's all I did was hoop, right? Broke my foot in the regionals in high school, and we ended up losing. I couldn't play. Actually, I tried to play. I didn't know it was broke. And so we didn't make state. So that was very disappointing for me. Then I went from there to Columbia Basin College and played community college ball there. Had some offers at different schools on the west side. But chose to go to Washington State for my final 2 years. I didn't play there, but I played with a lot of the guys that played for the team. And I mean, I could hang. I probably could have played at that level. I just didn't. Yeah. I won a couple dunk contests at Washington State University, which was cool. Zach always laughs about that, but
that's just because he can't dunk. I wonder what Zach's vertical is.
Probably 3 inches, but. Yeah, no, I had hops, man, and I still play to this day. I number one, I've coached Kayla's team since they were third grade to probably till she's in ninth grade now, third to seventh, and now I still play with my college buddies every Sunday night, which I'm a competitor, man. So I need that. I need competition. So I play every Sunday night. And now Kayla's playing. She made JV and varsity for her high school in ninth grade. So I get to be a part of basketball still. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Can you still dunk?
I cannot still dunk. Now I don't, I shouldn't say that. I don't really try, but probably not at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even touch the net. So, you know.
Oh my goodness.
So how did you get involved with shooting? All these other things you have going on. How did shooting come about?
Shooting came about with, man, I don't even know what year it was, 98, 99, maybe. One of my water ski buddies, Doug Spady, who owned the boat shop and we skied at his lake. He's like, man, you should come shoot clays with me. I'm like, I don't want to do that. And anyways, I finally went with him. We shot trap and I was like, I had like a Benelli Montefeltro 12 gauge because I hunted with it. And I was like, man, this is kind of fun. And then he pointed down to this five stand they had at this range. And he's like, let's go do that. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. So anyways, I went down and did it. And I literally, Justin, think I shot like a 3 the first time, right? Out of 25.
That might be a record, Mike.
But the light bulb came on and I was hooked, man, from that point forward. And then we went to a little sporting clay shoot locally. I mean, I knew nothing about this. And I think I won the first one I went out in. I mean, I was literally hooked after shooting a 2 on a 5 stand.
Well, it wasn't a target's breaking, that's for sure. So what was it?
Competition.
Yeah.
Just a new challenge. Yeah. You know?
Did you ever take any lessons coming up in shooting?
I didn't take any lessons because up here there was no one to take a lesson from. I mean, you did have Chuck Dreich over there. Matt Dreich, his son, won the Olympics and he was a cool guy. I mean, he knew everything about the eyes but I never did take a lesson from him. No, I jumped right in, man, both feet. No lessons.
Yeah. I read something that you, and I want to know this story because I think it's funny. You self-declared as a B-class shooter in 98. Now,
I did because, and I don't know if it was ego or what, but I of course, I didn't know anything about it. And I'm like, these classes, man. I mean, I'm not a freaking D-class shooter or whatever it was back then.
Yeah.
And I just went ahead and self-declared to B. Started winning right there.
He said, I'm just going to go on into B-class right in the middle of everything.
That's right. Yep. Right in the middle.
Anyway, so you moved up in classes fairly quickly. And I think it wasn't long after that you were winning state titles. I'm assuming.
I think it was a couple of years later. I won the state championship and yeah, it's probably won about 16 since then here.
I mean, is that about when you decided that you wanted to do this and pursue it further?
Oh, for sure. But the funny story is when I met Julie, you know, I think I met her in like 99 or 2000, right when all this was going on. I'm like, you know, I just want to give this like a year or two hardcore and then I'll probably be done with it. And she always quotes me on that. And yeah, here we are 22 years later and I'm still doing it. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of where it started.
It was fast forward a little bit and your resume. I mean, it's just crazy. You've consistently been winning year after year, and some of your biggest wins I think are probably your 2 U.S. Open wins among several others. And you know, everyone knows that there's shooters out there that have been shooting forever and have never accomplished one win, much less 2. So how special is it for you to have those 2 under your belt?
Oh, it's very special, right? Like you said, I mean, I base everything on, I look at it like golf, right? You got all your pro golfers, high-end pro golfers, and half of them have never won a major, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, having 2 in the sporting clays world is pretty big. I'm proud of that. And, you know, I just missed another one in 19 by a bird. Missed a 2-shot single at Anthony's on the final station to tie for HOA with Radulovich, but it didn't happen, and we move on from there. But yeah, I'm very proud of that, and podium at world championships and super finals across the pond in Europe. I mean, yeah, I'm very proud of that. It's it's a big deal. I'm proud of it.
What would you say, Mike, would be your most favorite or most prized win?
I got to think the second U.S. Open was special because the pressure, this is a funny story, and I don't need to name names, or I can name names, but
don't matter to me.
Kind of how I get amped up for things, but I was in the hunt. I really wasn't looking at scores, but I knew I was in the hunt Sunday at the U.S. Open at Northbrook, and I had the Blauser course on Sunday, which everyone talked about. They had this monster tower, et cetera. And I had that on Sunday, and I rolled in the parking lot, and Kevin DeMichael and Matt Fisher were parked next to me, and they were smoking cigars like the U.S. Open was over. I'm like, and don't get me wrong, I'm good friends with both these guys, right. But I'm like, this dude thinks he just won the U.S. Open, right? Because smoking a cigar. And I just told myself, you got to go out and run Blauser. You got to go out and run Blauser. So I went out on Blauser. I told Julie and Kayla. Kayla was just a little tyke at that time. I said, you guys stay back here. I don't want you going out there. And I started on maybe station 3. I got all the way through that tower, ran it. And I ended up missing two birds on Blauser and won the U.S. Open. But that was super special because I knew I had an idea where Kevin was, and I knew what I had to do, and I went out and did it. So it was pretty cool, pretty special.
Yeah. Well,
and really special to come off that course with your family waiting for you. And they already kind of know you won it before you even know you won it.
Yeah.
So it was really special. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you've been part of, I think, Team USA for 6 years. How many gold medal teams have you been on?
I think I've got at least four or five of them. And that's important to me because obviously individual is important, mm-hmm. but those shoots are different. You're going as a team, right? And for me, team first, individual second at those shoots. And I think if you talk to Kind Mom, he'd kind of say the same thing. They go hand in hand, but I was pretty proud, man, making that team and getting gold.
Yeah.
Almost every time I did it.
Yeah.
Being a brand name in the clay target industry, Rick Hemingway has said, have you ever noticed almost all major sporting events are being run by Pro-Matic traps? Think about that statement for a minute. He's right. And you may want to consider that before making your next purchase. Rick is the largest Pro-Matic dealer specializing in individual and commercial trap sales. Rick provides skeet, trap, five stamp, and sporting clays, designs, installs, and service. He also offers accessories such as solar panels, wireless release systems, as well as the hottest item on the market, the Claybot by Rainier Products. Visit www.backwoodsquailclub.com or give him a call at 843-546-1466.
How has the experience been being part of Team USA and being able to travel the world basically doing something you like to do?
It's amazing, right? I mean, and now I'm so hooked with that, I travel whether I'm on the team or not. So the bonding we do as a group of guys and girls overseas is pretty amazing. And until you experience it, yeah. I really can't put it into words or explain it to you, but it's pretty amazing. Yeah. You're with each other for a week in a unknown environment. The food's weird. The driving's weird. It's pretty special. It's really special.
Where's your favorite place to go shoot overseas?
Man, I'd say in a way, EJ Churchill, because of the history it has.
Yeah.
When you're on the actual smaller side of the facility, it's nothing special. It's really nice, right? But when you go over to the estate side where no one really shoots, where the main events are, it's pretty special. And you're walking, there are no golf carts. It's as pure as it gets.
Yeah. I've always heard that place is a nice place to go. You know,
it is. It's, it's, it, it, versus our sporting, right? Where you got, everyone's got a Polaris Ranger and everything's easy. There you get dropped off and you're walking that course. It's pure, you know?
Yeah. What, you got any funny moments that you can think of being over there? Any stories?
I don't have that many funny stories. One funny story was, it's not funny, but we were at the hotel and my ammo was in Zach's car and I had a bunch of Bornoggies and Zach, I think, had double A's and it was in our buddy Florian's car from Germany.
Yeah.
They broke into the car at the hotel and I'll be darned if they stole all the double A's and left the Bornoggies.
They knew what the deal was, didn't they?
So, yeah, that's kind of funny, right?
Yeah, that is. You know, I met you a few years back, and I actually shot with you. You probably don't remember this, but I shot with you on a PSCA qualifier in Oklahoma. And I think I shot with you at the World English in Chicago, but I'd always heard your name.
I know I shot with you in Chicago. I don't remember the PSCA, but
yeah.
If it was in Oklahoma, was it like 110 degrees?
Yeah, we were all out of our minds, so we didn't, you know, we weren't paying attention to
that. Yeah, I shot it good. I was one of the top qualifiers, but funny story, I drank so much water, I actually got sick from drinking too much water and not enough electrolytes.
Really? Well, everybody else there got sick from not drinking enough. I know you remember that.
Yeah, I drank too much.
Wow.
Yeah, but I did shoot with you at the World in Chicago.
Yep. I think we shot together a few times. I just don't know where all they were at. Those are just the big ones.
How could you not remember that, Justin?
I don't know. I just remember Chicago. We had a good old time in Chicago.
We did. We did.
But, you know, what I noticed about you is that even if you miss, you turn around, you have a positive attitude, you fist bump every single time. Now, how do you stay as positive as you do? And in your opinion, how important is it for you to stay as positive as you do?
Well, you have to stay positive to win, right? You can't dwell on misses. You got to figure it out, hit the rest and move on. I mean, you got to let it go, but it's very, very important. I mean, you see a lot of the lower guys go into a tailspin when they miss and they just compounds and compounds, then they give up. Well, I never give up. So, yeah. And I also try to be a good squad mate and keep everyone else pumped up on the squad because that benefits all of us.
Yeah. You know, you hear coaches, whether it's, you know, clay target sports, football, baseball, probably basketball, whatever it is, harping on good attitudes. And they do that because they feel that that's probably the key to success. And I think that's one of the keys to success in our game. And I'm sure you would agree with that.
It is. It's definitely a key to success. You got to stay positive and keep grinding.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Since you started up until now, what has evolved in this sport, either good or bad, in your opinion?
I think the targets have evolved quite a bit. I mean, they haven't gotten further. They've gotten more technical. Like every bird is curling out at the break point or climbing at the break point, or the terrain is doing something you don't realize. The invention of the Rabu target, which most people know is a rabbit thrown off a standard trap in the air. But what those targets do, if you don't learn and understand what they're doing, you're going to miss them. So that's what has evolved. That's a positive because everyone's getting better. They're learning how to shoot it.
Yeah.
I'd say a negative. I don't know if I'd call it a negative, because I don't know if we can solve it, but we need better scorekeepers, right? Mm-hmm. The scorekeepers aren't at the level of the shooters. So we've all seen it a million times. They're making calls that sometimes aren't right, giving birds they shouldn't be giving. So that, if we want to raise our game to another level, the scorekeepers got to be as good as the shooters.
Yeah. Well, how do you do that? If somebody's, think about it just for a second, you know, like you said, or you can't fix it, probably can't fix it. But if you've got somebody that's there that is as good as the shooters, they're going to want to be shooting and not pulling the targets.
So, I agree. That's it's a problem. I don't know how you do it, but squads, I guess the squads need to police themselves better, right? Got to have integrity. And when you don't hit something they call dead, and everyone else thinks you didn't hit it, it should be lost, right? Yeah. Not just, oh, he said I hit it. Well, he may not know you hit it. He doesn't know any better, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's fixable.
Yeah. What about how was the people changed in the sport? I mean, from, you know, back in the late 90s when you started till now, as far as the competitive side of it and the,
It's been similar. I mean, when I was coming up, when I was coming up, the guys I first met were Andy Duffy, John Kruger, Scott Robertson. McGuire was just coming up. Anthony, Zach, all these guys were little kids, man, when I first shot my first U.S. Open. So as far as the people go, the competitors, I think we've got a stronger competitive base.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that it's changed that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Something we have talked about in the last few podcasts is, I know you love nationals. You go to nationals. Have you missed nationals yet?
2001, I missed it when the towers were hit. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm assuming that you heard us talking about the top 40 shooters going to be squatted together. They say at the same rotation at nationals going forward for next year and on and on. How do you feel about that?
I did hear that. Nothing's confirmed, but, you know, I wish the NSCA would get on it and confirm it, because some of us got a plan, right? If for instance, my daughter shoots and, we got to know what rotation that is, right? Yeah. And then we can plan our other schedule around it before everything gets full. But I like the idea. It was a great idea. I mean, back, we did it years ago when all the top guys had to shoot together and a couple individuals complained about it and got it stopped. But
yeah,
I like it because on a shoot that long, there's too many weather factors, too many lighting factors, too much going on at nationals to make it even. So yeah, I think the top guys should be on the same course, same time.
Yeah. I think everybody, I haven't heard anybody yet that disagrees with that. Now I hadn't talked to everybody, but you know, I think most people would agree with it. So
good. I welcome it.
Yeah. You know, I see you shooting with, and the reason I bring that up is because I see you shooting with some of the same people all the time. Is this something you like to do, and is this going to bother you if you have to change that?
Doesn't bother me in the least. A lot of time, I like to shoot with good shooters, and I don't care who I shoot with, but sometimes people just jump on the squad and it's the same people. But no, that doesn't bother me at all. Yeah. I mean, I like to shoot with Kayla just because for a logistics standpoint, but she's got it dialed enough. She can go shoot on her own. And if we have to do that, we do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You moved from a high, this is probably a big question that I've seen a lot. You moved from a high rib to probably the flattest gun on the market. How did you do that? Why did you do that?
You know, it wasn't for me. You know, a lot of guys say they can't shoot high rib. I hear that a lot. You can't shoot high ribs, can't do this, but you know, the proof's in the pudding. I won a lot with high rib, right?
Yeah.
So, I shoot them really well. But when I went to the Krieghoff from the Blauser, it just, that low rib gun just felt really good. And that's, I ended up going with it. It literally for me wasn't because it did anything better. It just felt better. So I went with it. The Pro Sporter felt a little heavy to me. So I went with the Parkour, which was a little too light. But shortly after that, I got that prototype Parkour X, which solved all that. I think they got it right on that one.
That's the gun you're shooting, is the X? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm shooting the X.
Yeah. So you're now
shooting an X. I'm shooting an X with actually two barrel weights on it. So Parkour X, two barrel weights on it, and a set of custom extreme stainless steel chokes.
Not titanium.
They're not titanium.
Uh-huh. I don't know. You can get those. I guess you can if you're custom.
Yeah.
So you're now with Krieghoff. You seem to be liking it, loving it. And what?
Yeah.
Tell me about the gun that you shoot. Why do you enjoy it so much? And then why do you enjoy the company so much?
you know, the gun itself is just a workhorse, right? I mean, it's got great triggers. It's just a workhorse. It moves really well. The recoil, I actually got it ported by Krieghoff. Mm-hmm. After shooting with Anthony, I noticed his gun was ported. We were shooting in Vegas or somewhere. I'm like, you think I should port my gun? He's like, yeah, if it gives, what if it gives you a bird? It's worth it. So anyways, I had Krieghoff port it, and oh my goodness, I can shoot the hottest shell made, and I really can't tell the difference between a 1300 and a 1200 out of that gun the way I have it set up. So recoil, triggers, and the factory support I get from them is amazing. I mean, Alex is a great guy. They handle everything I need, and they've been great.
Yeah. Do you plan on sticking with a flat rib gun, or have you ever thought like, dang, I should have stuck with a high rib or some sort of ramp rib? Or are you going to stay with that flat rib gun?
No, I'm going to stay with it. I don't really think about that. So yeah, I'm staying with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Another huge highlight in your shooting career is that your daughter Kayla gets to shoot with you, which is neat that she gets to enjoy the same thing you enjoy.
Yes. It's amazing, right? I mean, she's been coming out with me since she was 5 years old, right? Scoring or pulling, or we started, at a Remington 1100 410, and I'd bring it and maybe let her shoot 5-6 shots at targets. I'd put targets out on the ground and she'd shoot them. And we went from that to a Beretta A400 28 gauge, did the same thing, right? Then we started shooting them in the air, and then we went to a Blauser 20 gauge, and she actually shot the Nationals with it. Now we're in a Beretta A400 28 inch with a TSK stock on it, and no, it's amazing, man. I mean, we do that together, and she wants to go whenever I go, and she's gone from E class to double A and won something in almost every major we've gone to. It's exciting.
Castellani shooting vests are manufactured in Italy and internationally recognized by elite shooters as the most popular lightweight shooting vests on the market. Castellani vests are especially known for their Italian styling and superior craftsmanship and quality, making them a vest of choice for all shooting disciplines. Ultimate Shooting Accessories is the exclusive supplier of Castellani vests in the United States. Visit ultimateshootingaccessories.com for more information and to place your order.
Did her just seeing you shoot is what made her want to start shooting?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. She wants to be with her dad, you know, and it's, other parents need to look at that too. And for me, it's not a distraction having her on the squad. I mean, she now knows everything. She's now shot FITASC, and it's just going to get better from here.
Yeah. What advice would you give to other parents whose kids want to shoot?
Take them out, man, and start them slow. You know, recoil is not their friend, right? So if they're complete rookies, start them out with something really light, because we all know it's hard to get a gun that fits them, right?
Yeah.
You know, when they're 8 years old or whatever, and just start them out. Let them pull that trigger and see something break. And that's why I did it on the ground, right? I know it's aiming, but two eyes open, shoot stuff on the ground and progress from there. And kids are really taken to it. I mean, it's one of the number one growing high school sports in the country, right?
Yeah.
So get them out there and take them shooting.
Is she shooting you said she's in high school now. Is she shooting any high school tournaments, SETP, anything like that?
She is up here. It's called WAYS, and she shoots for the SST Ravens. It's not nearly as big here as it is in Georgia or some of these other states, but definitely she does that. They do trap, skeet, and sporting, and I encourage it, and I go every couple weeks and help coach the kids for the team, and yeah, I encourage it.
Yeah. You know, it's cool watching her from when she started to where she is now. I mean, it's really amazing. You know, and I've heard a lot of good shooters say that this is going to be one of the next lady national champions sooner than later. I'm sure you've heard the same thing, but they say
I've heard it. I don't know if I want to buy into it, you know, because I don't want to, you know, look too far ahead, but she has the ability, she has the opportunity, and, we just got to teach her a few more things and teach her to win. And that comes with time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who asks who to shoot more often? Do you ask her or she ask you?
Man, I'd say it's probably 50-50. Right now she's really busy with basketball, but like I said, I don't care if it's 25 degrees and raining. She wants to go shooting. Yeah. She's
better than I am. I'll tell you what, 25 degrees and raining, I'm staying at the house.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go shooting. I'm sure you don't want to go. She jumps out of bed. I'm going. So
yeah,
she loves it. She's strong, right eye dominant. It's impressive to watch her.
Mike, when you and Kayla go shooting together, you know, where do you go in Washington?
Well, besides the local clubs, going to maybe a registered shoot, we've got our own 80-acre course up in Mount Vernon called Rock Mountain. We got a few partners, but we've really developed it into a premier training facility, and we've got 30 stations, probably 80 plus chromatic traps, full wireless. I mean, we can set anything you would see in the world there. I mean, with the terrain we have, so we shoot there, we train there, we set up targets there. We may see it at majors, et cetera, and I coach there. So Rock Mountain Gun Club in Mount Vernon, I mean, Kind Mom's been there. It's a pretty amazing place.
So is this a place that is open to the public?
It's not open on a daily basis, but I've been throwing registered tournaments there. I threw four last year, and I'll probably throw four this spring, summer. So if anyone can get out there, it'd be great. You'd be amazed.
I've heard that you coached, but I didn't know you were like actively coaching.
I do. It's just not full time because I have two other full time jobs, but definitely do coach. And it's at Rock Mountain, and be great to get some customers from different parts of the country to come up here and see this place.
Yeah. How do people, what do they just message you on Facebook if they want to come out here and take a lesson from you?
Message me on Facebook or email me or call me. Yeah. Okay. Facebook, Instagram, you can get a hold of me pretty easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the time when I see you at a shoot, you know, you see Kayla and you also see your wife there with you. And I know she's been a huge part of your success and Kayla's success. I mean, she's always smiling.
Huge success. I mean, cause to be successful, you gotta have that team. Right. And, yeah, she's always there with us, supporting us and traveling with us and talking about shooting, thinking about shooting and just always there supporting us. So it's really cool. And she loves everyone in the shooting community. I mean, she's got a big shooting family out there, you know, across the world. Yeah. And it's a big part of our family.
Speaking of family, you and her both joined Team Winchester this year, and the guys, gals, everybody at Winchester are great people. They offer the support, the products they have, the people, everything they're all top notch. And I know that's a big deal for you and her.
It's huge. I mean, number one, it was our favorite ammo anyways, but to have the support of that industry giant, to have your back, it's amazing. And it's a dream come true, right? And when I signed with them, I said, you know what? You're going to like working with me. I'm going to do you right. And it's huge. Yeah. Huge. Couldn't be more proud of that.
Yeah. What ammo, what loads are you shooting?
I'm kind of all over the map. I mean, in the past, I shot the 1300 Super Sport ounce and an eighth. Mm-hmm. But I've been shooting a lot of, and part of it's because of availability, but I've been shooting a lot of 1250 super handicaps. And Kayla shoots the 1290 light handicap exclusively. And I've been playing with that a little bit. So the verdict's still out for 2022, but most likely I'm going to be shooting 1250 super handicaps and 1250 elite traps.
Those elite traps, I hear, are some bad target loads.
It's it's pretty amazing. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen harder breaks than with that shell.
You know, you mentioned when I called you earlier that you have shot 200,000 registered targets now.
Yeah, I went and got the mail today. I got a plaque that I shot 200,000 registered targets by in 2020. I was like, man, that's a lot of ammo and time. I didn't realize I'd shot that much, but obviously I have. That didn't include practice or anything else.
That's crazy to think you shot that much, you know, 200,000 targets. What's your plans for 2022? You got anything big that you want to.
2022 is big. I mean, I've regrouped, guns dialed. 2022 is big because I'm usually not that organized. I got with Casey at Score Chaser, and I'm on that pro program or whatever. I'm registered for everything. So yeah, I'm hit hard in 2022, and plan on going to Italy for the World Feed Task, and big things coming in 2022.
So you're going to go to all the shoots?
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. What goals do you have? I know you want to win everything, but what's a reasonable goal that you have?
Win another major so I can retire. Yeah. No, obviously win, but stay at the top, man. I think this for next year, I'm going to focus hard on Team USA for the following year, 'cause it's going to be in Europe. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hit that hard. And just stay at the top.
I know you have a good list of sponsors that are on board with you. Are there any that you'd like to mention?
I couldn't do it without Krieghoff, Winchester, White Flyer, Pila, Extreme, Sound Gear, Sitka takes care of me. Tom over at Ultimate Shooting Accessories with the Castellani vests and Q-Max oil products. I mean, they all take care of me, and I couldn't do it without them.
I just got a pair of Sound Gear earplugs. Those are absolutely amazing.
They are amazing. And a story to that is I've been wearing those for, probably 8 years, 10 years. And my brother-in-law, Walter, I'd like to give a shout out to him. He just passed away from coronavirus.
Wow.
He was an audiologist and good friends with the Sound Gear guys. And that's how I got into that. But yeah, great product.
If you hadn't tried them, you need to try them. They're really good. All right, Mike. I appreciate you spending some time with me. I know you have things to do, but I wish you all the best in the 2022 season and look forward to seeing you in some of these shoots.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And anyone out there that ever wants to come up and ask a question or talk about something, I'm all ears.
That is correct. He don't mind talking to you. And he probably don't mind if someone wants to shoot with him.
Not at all.
There you go.
Jump on there with me.
All right. Well, Mike, I appreciate you, man, and I'll see you later.
Thanks, Justin.